One, two, three, four, just another day at my dead-end profession. I'm living day to day, yeah, listening to some good old country records on the radio. And yeah, what else can I say?
Welcome back to the program. I'm Ryan. With me, as always, is Dave Callens.
Hello.
And Robert Timothy.
Woohoo!
Oh, sit down, buddy. We're doing a show here.
Man. Come on.
A little different recording schedule this week. It's only been 2 days since we were in here last.
I missed you guys desperately, though.
I like this every two-day recording. We can really catch up on some shit.
Oh, no. That will not be the schedule. So
every
it's a Monday.
Other day.
It's a Monday night. And Dave, I want to start out by asking you about this. There's a guy that's, like, I guess you're friends with him on Facebook, maybe. You're, like, kind of obsessed with this guy's, let's call it his habits.
Yeah, this is a guy. He's a weird dude. I'm going to throw that out there up front. He friended me at a comedy show because he's friends with some other comics I don't know, chick comics, and he follows them around. Then he unfriended me. I just noticed he unfriended me. Then he sent me another friend request, and Right now he's not my friend again, so he keeps unfriending me. But the deal,
he's trying to get your attention with that notification. Like, I'm still here.
Side note, when you get that, and we've all gotten that, the person you've had to friend like 3 or 4 times, do you automatically like go into a weird skeptical mode where you're like, what happened? Did this guy do the thing where he shut down his Facebook because his girlfriend caught
sure.
him cheating?
Yeah.
Or like...
No, his girlfriend caught him cheating. You have a joint Facebook
account
called
absolutely.
Dave and Amanda at Facebook.com.
Or did he like see a post you made and be like, fuck you, Trump is cool. And like, you know.
I always wonder that. I'm like, was it a mistake? Did he close his account?
Or
did
nowadays, there's that thing where like people try and copy. It's like scammers will copy somebody's Facebook.
Yes.
And then like, make a copy of it and then try and friend you. So now you have to be careful about friending the same
right.
person twice.
You know, one thing is, you know, Facebook memories where you get to see jokes from a long time ago. You said a joke that like 4 years ago, like 400 likes or something. You go through it. Sometimes I'll scroll to the very bottom of those likes and see who's no longer my friend from 4 years ago because they all go to the bottom.
Oh, really?
Yes. So I'll just go by like, oh yeah, that guy Rick in like East County. What the fuck did I do to that guy?
Yeah.
And then I'll start. I gotta stop doing that because at first I'm like, oh, that fucking bitch unfriended me. Whatever. I wonder why though. Like,
why?
Then like 3 days later, I'm like going through old posts from 3 years ago. Like, was it this? Was it this?
I want to get some kind
just
of
going down the rabbit hole of like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I want to see a pie chart of wasted Facebook investigation time.
Oh boy, that thing would just be one color.
Yeah, just one giant pie, exactly.
No. Like every once in a while, it's like, hey, whatever happened to that dude Bill I used to go to college with? And then you do some research. You're like, oh, he's got kids and family. Okay, good for Bill. Fine, that was research well done. But then sometimes. It's like
still wasted research because who gives a shit?
Yeah, fuck Bill.
Yeah.
No, but this guy popped up back on my radar because someone posted a picture on Facebook. A friend of mine, a female friend of mine, posted a pic. Wasn't even a glamour pic or like a, you can tell it wasn't a fishing for likes pic.
Yeah.
It was just like her, like, hey, went to the park today or some bullshit, whatever. And his comment was the first one. It was like, oh, you're so beautiful, something like that. And I started piecing together. I'm like, oh my God, he's just constantly doing this to female comics. And
he's a m'lady guy?
Yes, yes.
A fedora tipper?
But I remember talking to someone else like this, a similar type of guy, and talking to him, he just told me that he is literally just looking for a wife.
He's just like, I'm not in a relationship, nor have I probably ever been in one.
Exactly.
But I am trying to nail this down, and I don't have money for a mail order Russian one.
And in order to facilitate this plan, he tells every single woman he knows that they're beautiful all the time.
Yikes. Okay, so there's the desperate guy, but not desperate to get laid. I just need someone warm to sleep next to.
Yes. I feel like this is the emotional equivalent of a dick pic. Like, they're just throwing their love literally out there to all the women they know, hoping that one of them is like, oh my God,
yeah,
you would be a good husband.
By the way, any guys, I understand desperation. I mean, not firsthand. But I understand, you know, reaching 40 or 50 and nary a boob has touched your hand. I understand how that must feel. But can I just tell you, the way to go about it is not announcing to the world, I'll take anything.
I know, right?
Because girl wants to be the anything.
Exactly. No, I mean, like
like some girls will be like, wait a second, I'm anything.
Yeah, no.
He'll take me?
No.
Yeah, the dick pic analogy is a good one because it's even more so like that because it's like, he not only has sent everyone his dick pic of love, so to speak, but he's done
love pic.
Unlike most dick pics, this is done in a public setting. So every girl can look back and see that he says this to every other girl.
Yeah, but then that's just like, oh, see how much I love women? I would love you just as much.
That's
so creepy to me.
He doesn't understand economics. There's a principle of of inflation, and basically what he has done is devalued his own love currency.
Yeah, Dickonomics. I know that principle.
Oh, Dickonomics. Fantastic.
Yeah, yeah. So that no girl wants me to do anything. Everyone wants to feel, guy or girl, like you are the one they've chosen, and not just an anybody.
Yes,
anybody. Do you have a residence? That's not a deal breaker if you don't. If you're homeless, fine with it.
It's like worse than desperate somehow. I don't know how, but it is. It's just insane.
It is, and you know what? That guy's always existed. Back in high school, there'd be guys that like say things to girls that they're the original friend zoners that would say to girls like, oh, I'm so stupid, no one would ever want
me. Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Like, waiting for them to go, well, I would. But that day never comes.
Yeah. They saw too many fucking John Cusack movies and thought it was going to work out for them. No. Where, in fact, they're like, man, nobody would ever like me. And then the girl goes, yeah, probably, and then keeps going on with her day.
No, it is a John Cusack movie because that guy would be better off dead.
You know how you were doing your Darwinism on the dick pic, the creeps last
week? Sure.
Just all the creeps. I feel like we can do this with the inverse guys like I'm talking about here. Because you guys, I know you know someone like this. Have you ever had a friend who was like looking for someone, a date, looking for someone to be with, living by themselves, and they rent their room in their house to another woman?
Oh, that's so dumb. Like in trying to date them?
Like with the possibility. Oh, like, so hey, bro, you should see my new roommate. She's so hot. Like maybe we can hook up. You know what I'm talking about? You've seen these guys. You know these guys.
All I know was that my sophomore year in college, I lived on campus in an apartment building. I fucked my across-the-hall neighbor.
Oh, no.
And even that was a huge mistake.
Yeah.
Ruined arguably the funnest year of college for me.
Yeah.
Just because she was always there. And oh boy, same residence, same apartment number.
You can't even go same
Yikes.
Building. No.
Not same street.
No, absolutely not.
Different zip code would be preferable.
Yeah. It's a crazy dumb idea. It's like the people who try and fuck people at work. It's a dumb idea. You're going to see that person all the time.
And I did that a lot of times in this one office building I worked at.
It does not end well. No, I had a funny experience where I lived in this awesome condo downtown, and it was like kind of, it was in foreclosure, but we were going to have it for a year or two. So I had negotiated dirt cheap rent on this guy because I knew it was closing. I knew the people who were moving out. They were my friends. I was like, not only will I move in, I'm going to move in. I know they're going to foreclose at some point, so I get that, and I'll move out when that happens. But also, I live across the hall right now. I'll move in the day they move out, so you don't even have a down month. But in return, I negotiated this stupid low rent, and me and my buddies moved into
the... I thought it was like Hannibal Lecter with this guy. He has inside information. Like,
dude.
Yeah, money problems, aren't you?
Yeah.
Don't you have Carlo?
Oh, he was super happy. He ended up profiting because if you look at the whole scheme of things, he had it occupied for longer. And long story short, but yeah, I got a really good deal. And what we did
profiting, except for the part he lost his building.
At some point, one of my roommates was moving out, and me and my friend, who happened to be a girl who was my roommate, who I was absolutely not banging, and that was a rule.
She was under 300 pounds.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. So of course, who would want to bang her?
She's untouchable.
So at some point, we put out the ad. Hey, let's get a new person in here. And I did something that I still to this day look back in and go, this was a really smart move. I went, well, we could ask market rate. Market rate for this room is going to be $1,100. We could ask market rate for it and then, you know, get whoever we get.
Or we could trade sexual favors.
Yeah. No, I was like, or let's put it super cheap. Let's put it at like $750, which is still way more than their share of the rent that we're paying anyway. But we can be really choosy about who we take.
Because you'll get everybody.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Now we're not.
I want everyone.
And we did. We got it. We had 500 applicants. It was crazy, right? But at one point, we're going to see like 7 or 8 applicants that day. And we can see the entry gate to our condo complex from our balcony. And so I go, okay, the next one's coming up. Her name is Jessica.
I just picture Bobby standing on a balcony to a crowd of people just yelling names like, all right.
Hear ye, Lord Barbledore is in the house.
It's like the reverse Hunger Games. Someone's like, yes, I got chosen.
No, it's like the new Mad Max, and I let the water come down. They're all collecting it in pots.
No, I saw this a little different. I saw Bobby setting up the living room like the Merv Griffin show with like a sequin curtain. He's holding one of those long Bob Barker microphones and a bell-bottom leisure suit. Like, our next contestant, Samantha, hails from from Ocean Beach, come on down.
And this is when I was single and living the life downtown. I look over the balcony. I tell my neighbor, okay, the next girl, Jessica's coming up. And I look over the balcony from six stories up. I can look down. I look down and I go, oh, she's super blonde and busty. And I just turned I turned to my roommate and I go, she can't live with us. She can't, because I'm going to bang her. Like, I'm absolutely...
Very presumptuous. Does he have a say?
Like, he has no choice. It's just going to happen.
I didn't have a choice.
He has no choice.
He was blonde and busty.
Did she get a vote in all this?
No.
Or he's like, well, $700 rent.
She's obviously going to be captivated by him. Look at him. He's gorgeous.
Well, let's just fast forward. I banged the shit out of her. It worked out. No, but I was like, she can't be our roommate. And my roommate, who knew me very well, looked down and went, yeah, okay, I understand that. And so we brought her up, and we did the, like,
you
interview
still made
thing.
It come up six floors.
Yeah. Oh, it was an elevator. So we did the whole interview thing, and we talked to her. We were like, yeah, we'll let you know. And there's a lot of applicants, just so you know. And then later I called her back, and I was like, you know, sorry it didn't work out. But what are you doing on Saturday?
Exactly.
I did. Yeah, it worked out. It worked out great for me. But I knew myself well enough to know that that would be a fucking disaster, because those were my, like, single years. I was certainly not looking at her going, oh, this is going to be my girlfriend. I was like, I'm going to bang her. And then, like,
be living with
her. There's going to be other girls I'm going to bang, and this is going to get complicated.
And dudes, too. She's going to be very confused.
Yeah.
See, now, I'm not saying you can't live with women. Obviously, I've had female roommates. No problem.
I had a female roommate.
But I'm not even talking about what you were doing. I'm talking about someone who's, like, excited by the prospect of getting that hot roommate.
No, you can't be excited about it. It's a bad idea. It's a horrible
idea. Terrible idea.
And you don't want to live with a hot girl if you don't have to. Like, they've had too many stuff handed to them. There's going to be weird shit going. Like, fuck that. No, get away from that.
Absolutely. I got really lucky. I got away with never banging a female roommate.
I like that he spits on female roommate.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, me and Ted, we had an understanding. Mutual love for 2.5 men. anyways, that never happened to me, but I came really close. Is that I rented I went through a bad breakup and I lost my fucking townhouse because I had a girlfriend move in and just say, yeah, we're broken up. I'm keeping this place. I'm like, wow. So anyways, I had to go find a room for rent just until I put the pieces of my fucking life back together. And I found this.
Still working on it to this day.
Yeah, trying. Piece it together slowly but surely. I found this room from this, like, kind of an odd dude. He was a milkman, of all things.
That's still a thing?
Yeah, he's still a milkman. Wow. That's still a thing. And it's like a family business. We hit it off fine. I rent this room. It was a really nice big house in Bay Park overlooking the bay. I liked it. And he's like, yeah, okay. Well, I want our third roommate to be a female. I'm like, oh, why? He's like, it's my experience. That's the best dynamic. Two guys, one girl. I'm like, maybe the porn you watch, but just in real life. This is real fucking life, Carson.
Isn't that how Ryan Reynolds got to start? Yeah. Two guys going to a pizza place? You could have been famous if you went along with it.
So then he chooses someone who turns out to be pretty smoking hot. And then I find out she's pretty sexually indiscriminate just because of the parade of dudes that come over. And it occurs to me, dude, I could probably just say, hey, what are you doing later? Want to start a casual thing? She'd probably be like, yeah, I don't care. I don't care that you look like a caveman.
He could just put it on the chore wheel. She would have no idea.
Yeah.
But luckily, before that could ever happen, I met the woman that would become my wife. And so finally, I'm like, oh, thank God. That probably would have ended horribly.
Oh, you got pulled out of a bad situation.
No,
right,
you
there.
Can't. It's such a dumb idea because it's just going to, it can only end badly, right?
Yeah.
There's no good ending, even if it's an amicable breakup or whatever you want to call it. It's still awkward when you see them every fucking day.
Yes.
Side note, by the way, the busty blonde girl. Ended up, we dated a little bit.
Gaining 300 pounds. She's smoking hot now.
Oh, God, I wish. No, I ended up having to break up with her for a reason that I had never, at that time, broken up with somebody for, and still to this day have never broken up with them for. I don't know.
Your blowgun skills are subpar.
No, he's broken up with a lot of people for that.
Blowgun skills are subpar to my standards. No, she was fresh from Lowell, Massachusetts, and I was like, I just can't deal with this fucking accent. This is horrible. It was horrible.
Oh, was it wicked handsome?
It was this amazing looking, stunning, like, I'm not going to lie, she was a 9.5. She was a smoking hot, gorgeous, busty blonde that, like, when she opened her mouth, it sounded like angry homeless guys were fighting in there and the echoes of it were coming out.
Oh, dude, I said the very exact same thing the last time I was in Massachusetts because Boston and generally East Coast, Mid-Atlantic girls have the look that really drives me nuts. They're usually just a little thicker, a little tougher. You know, they got this look about them like, I could kick your ass. You know, and I really like it about them. But every time when I was on the fucking East Coast, I'm like, hey, what's going on? And the girl would be like, I'm like, oh God.
Yeah.
Yeah. Terrible. Yeah, terrible.
Maybe they open their mouth. It's like nails on chalkboard.
It was really, there was a time where like, I was like, and I kept thinking, I was like, what do I tell her? Like when I break up, am I like, I'm sorry. Your mouth just sounds like garbage cans.
I was on tour. I was on tour in 2011. This chick came to my show from Boston and just visually everything I could hope for. But then she sounded like Cliff Clavin from Cheers. I'm like, so what are you doing after the show? She's like, yeah, maybe I'll just take my girlfriend there. Maybe I'll go over to your hotel and suck your cork. I'm like, never mind. I just remembered I have to be gay tomorrow. See ya.
Bobby, you're a scientist. I'm surprised you didn't come up with some concoction to have her drink that would make her voice go away without her knowing.
Yeah, that'll work.
He ended up just killing her. Whoops. Got those levels way wrong.
I should have just hired Mary Poppins to come in. Teach her diction.
Thought that was your job. You know, I'm in that novelty tribute band, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
First of all, let me just say that I hate it that I'm already getting recognized more for being in this shitty fake little band than I did after 9.5 years of comedy. It hurts my feelings that something I did as a joke is getting me more attention than something I've fucking taken seriously for a decade.
Well, it's not only the joke and seriously, it's like one of those is your material.
Yeah, I know. Like, no, they, seriously, it's happened like 3 times this month. Like, some guy sees me in a bar, and points at me. I'm like, comedy? They're like, no. I'm like, TV commercials? No.
Soapy Joe.
Oh, no. No. You're the guy that dresses up as another guy and sings someone else's songs. I love that shit. I'm like, stop liking that. Huh. There's an actual band to be a fan of, and it's not mine.
All my favorite stuff you do is other people's stuff.
Right. Anyway, now it's causing me problems. The only reason I did this was to break up the monotony of stand-up, because every day is the fucking same with shows. So I'm like, I'll just do this other thing for fun. Now it's causing me fucking headaches. Because listen to this. There's this band. I'm not going to name them because we still have some shows with them. This dude comes to one of our shows. Hey, he like brings a bunch of his band's merch. He's like, hey, man. Yeah, like you guys. We want to play a show with you. We're like, yeah, we're down, man. So he throws out a gig back in October. We're like, yeah, that works for us.
This
we'll be
past
there.
October or coming up?
Past October. Okay. Right before we left for Massachusetts.
Got it.
And so within like 3 or 4 weeks to the gig, he's like, ah, forgot. We can't do it. I'm like, you guys threw that one out there. But no big deal.
Yeah, that sucks.
No big deal. No big deal. That, you giveth, you taketh away. Whatever. So then we had a gig at the Salty Frog in Imperial Beach in December, okay? I have a working relationship with the owner of this bar. He's a really nice guy. Anyone that knows Kanai that owns that
bar.
Very
good guy, yeah.
He is the – I don't know anyone that – that's not true. I know one guy that doesn't like him. anyways, he's – just a class act. Anyone that has worked with him besides that one guy I mentioned fucking loves this guy. I don't want to fuck anything up with this working relationship. So it's our show to book, and we tap this band that kind of screwed us over in the first place. But like I said, it wasn't a big deal. And they're like, yeah, we love this. I contacted them in August for a December show. Plenty of advance notice. About a week before the show, Groobs, the guy who plays bass in the band, comes to me and shows me a flyer with that band on it that's the same night as the one we've booked them on.
Yes, I remember this.
So I reach out to the guy, and I'm like, hey, man, don't mean to be nosy, but what the fuck is this? He's like, oh, shit, I remember. Yeah, I forgot. You booked us on that night first. I'm like, yes, I did. Yeah, he's like, yeah, wild, right? I forgot. I'm like, all right, well, by your own admission, I contacted you first, and 4 months ago, which show are you guys going to play? He's like, honestly, the other one. I'm like, what? He goes, yeah, the flyer's already made. So I'm like,
what?
I'm sorry, the flyer's
everybody
already
knows made. The flyer is the hardest part of any gig.
Also legally binding.
Yeah. So anyway, it's like, yeah, nary a sorry.
Wow.
Just kind of like, nah, we just, nah, fuck you. So anyways, I'm like, wow. So, and by the way, it was just me and this, our band and this guy's band. It was just two. So now we have to scramble last minute. I'm in danger of fucking over a guy that I really like professionally and personally. So I'm like, fucking goddamn it. So anyways, everything goes off fine. But fast forward, this club contacts us. And they're like, hey man, we want you to do a gig. I'm like, all right. They're like, all horror punk themed. And we want this band, the same band as before,
right.
to open for you. Now, we have a little band meeting. I'm like, this guy seems like this is his friends or something. I don't know. We all vote to like, this is this guy's choice. He's booking the show. It's his club. He wants this band. If these guys flake, it's not on us. We have no onus to it.
Right.
fine. And so we're like, because we even threw out some other ideas, like, how about this band, this band, this band, or this band, or this band, or any other band than the one you mentioned? They're like, no, I really want these guys. We're like, all right, let's not get the reputation for the guys that talk shit on other bands. Let's just let them do it. Okay. I'm like, all right, that band will be fine. Go ahead. Book them. We'll headline it. This is the money we want. And they're like, okay, I'll tell them right now. About an hour later, the guy from that band hits me up and goes, hey, Ryan, I just wanted to reach out and say, I feel really bad about screwing you over two times in a row. So here's what I'm going to do for you. I'm thinking I'll book you on a gig at the at this club, the one that already reached out to me.
He's trying to take credit for the gig you just got.
I'm like, oh my God, he's trying to take credit for this. I'm like, yeah, they already reached out for me. He's like, okay, cool, man. So see you there. I'm like, no, like I'm busted. No anything. I'm like, I like this guy less the more he talks.
Now I want to go meet him and see if we can't pin him down to something bad he has done in his life. Because I'm getting the narcissist can't take responsibility vibe. And I feel like sometimes it's almost a fun game to try and make that.
What are your ideas? I don't understand what you're saying.
Well, so if he is going to be at this show, right, we can, I don't know, set up a comical...
He may or may not be at the show. I'm just throwing that out there.
I was thinking he's 0-2 in that department.
We set up a comical Rube Goldberg-esque machine whereby he sets his beer down in the wrong way and ends up setting the bar on fire. And we have it on tape. And then we have to.
So we're going to have to set a bar on fire to make this happen, is what you're saying.
I mean, we could. I mean,
I think that's what Bobby wants to happen.
Well, at least it didn't involve a fake cop outfit. So
he hasn't
gotten
that far yet. Bobby.
First of all, you never get the outfit. You just get a detective's badge. So you don't have to have a new different outfit.
I remember back in December when the double booked and he turned down Ryan. I don't know if I ever told you this, but my idea to Ryan then was like, because this guy was so hung up on the flyer already being made, we need to make up a bunch of fake flyers with that band at shitty locations and post them up publicly.
To see if they just show up.
Because, hey, flyers made. You got
the
Shell station on Elkhorn Boulevard. I guess the flyers already made.
I love that idea.
What do you think, Bobby? Is that what the move is?
I think you got to try and catch him in something he's done wrong and force him to admit it and apologize. Because every time I hear about it,
I don't think that's a possibility with this guy. Did you hear this mentality?
Yeah, I do. That's why I think of it. I guess I look at these instances like a superhero looking at supervillains. Like, I see you there, totally unaccountable man. Well, accountable man is coming after you, and we're going to force you.
You can't even think of cool superheroes.
Dude,
you're such a fucking
Bobby,
nerd.
The thing is, I already caught him in a lie trying to take credit for a show that was offered to me before him.
Right.
And even when I called him out, he still thinks. I guarantee you, when he went, okay, cool, man, you're welcome. You know, like, he's like, oh, I totally Jedi mind tricked him.
It might be too late for this because that phone call might have been the moment, but my reaction, my instinct would be like, oh, no, actually, I got you on this gig. The bar talked to me, and we talked about 6 or 7 different bands, and you know I had him settle on you, so
I don't
you're
like
welcome.
That. Here's why I don't like that, because then he feels like he's like, oh man, I fucked this guy over twice, and he's still getting me gigs.
There's no win in this situation.
I know,
really,
and that's what's horrifying.
You guys want to just hit him with a 2x4?
Yes, yes.
Fair enough.
30 seconds into their first song of that show, I just run out and break a board over his back and go,
David, I stand up cheering.
Get your pranks.
The guy's like, what was that all about? And me and Bobby pop out with a big flyer that has a picture of you hitting him with a 2x4. The flyer was already made. We had to do it. That might work.
Speaking of pranks, Bobby, what I'm guessing is your favorite holiday is coming up, April Fool's Day.
That is true.
I have a little problem with the way April Fool's Day is handled since social media has been around. And this is my big problem, is that people confuse, and this should enrage you, Bobby, people confuse practical jokes with just lying on Facebook.
Yeah,
that's true.
That's just like oh, I'm going to get these people. Hey, everyone, I'm pregnant.
Yeah, classic.
No, I got you. I'm like, no, that's just you lying. Yeah. That's not a practical joke. That's not a prank. I'm like, oh, hey, I said something wasn't true. You trusted me and I betrayed you. Get the pranks.
I thought a great movie would be that something was happening like it's the end of the world and the scientist who's trying to convince everybody makes the mistake of discovering it on April 1st. And like, no matter what, he can't figure out a way to get people to believe him.
That's funny. That sounds like an Adam Sandler, but you can make it funny.
Yeah.
There's no way to make an Adam Sandler movie funny, but continue.
No, I just, the April Fool's Day thing, it's, you can pull some funny pranks. Like, I remember in college, that was April Fool's Day was, like, my favorite holiday because it was carte blanche. You can do what you wanted in terms of pranking people.
I'm just seeing everyone that knows, everyone from Bobby's frat, where his reputation preceded him, just emotionally terrorize someone. Like, someone's like, all right, it's April 1st. You know, Bobby's got, all of a sudden, like, Bobby just sits next to a guy on the couch and smiles at him real big, and he just starts hyperventilating, like, what do you... You look like you're going to do something horrible.
The guy bursts into flames. So I was like, King of Pranks.
First of all, my pranks were delightful and awesome, and everybody appreciated them, except for that one time that stupid kid tried to prank me back, and then very bad things happened to him.
What happened there?
Well, long story short.
I doubt that.
I forgot what he had originally done that made me decide.
I forgot he was allergic to peanuts, and so I hit him.
Long story short, Cameron, I'm so sorry. R.I.P., buddy.
He decided to try and prank me. He might have been a very, very shitty first attack type thing. But we used to get, for whatever reason, the Axe Body Spray Company used to come by fraternities and drop off pallets.
For whatever reason. He just said the reason.
But, like, it would just drop off pallets full of Axe Body Spray, especially, like, the small sample sizes. And so one of the guys, the younger guys, thought it would be funny to prank me. And so what he did is went inside and he set off an entire Axe Body Spray in my room.
That's gross.
It is gross. But, I mean, I'm going to fuck you up, right? Like, so what I did is I waited for a party where there was a bunch of girls there, and our bathrooms were like, you would walk into a room that was like a bathroom, but it had stalls in it, like a public bathroom, right?
Right.
And so everybody was convening outside one of the bathrooms, which isn't uncommon because it's in a hallway, so there's a bunch of people, and you're looking into the bathroom, but the individual person's in a stall, so you don't see what's going on, obviously. So I waited for him to go in. I had duct taped
and burned the bathroom down.
Three of those Axe Body Spray canisters to each of my hands so that when I push my fingers down, I could shoot three Axe Body Sprays with each hand.
So you were Edward Douchebag
hands? Yeah, exactly. Oh man, I'm gonna use that sometimes. So I waited for him to go to the bathroom, and as he was sitting on the toilet, I
like that you taped them to your hands.
Of course,
like
you can't,
prison fight style. Yeah. Like, I don't want to drop these.
Try and set off three Axe Body Sprays with each hand. It's
I don't
difficult.
Need to. It's not something I would ever do.
Yeah, you don't reach for the stars. And so I waited for him to do that, and I waited, and I invited the girls he was talking to. I was like, "Oh, hey, ladies, you're with my friend. I'll just call him Andy for now. I'll be like, you're with my friend Andy, right?" And they're like, "Yeah." And I was like, "Come on over here. Just real quick, I'm just going to go in the bathroom. He's in there, right? Yeah, okay." And I put my hands over the stalls, released six cans of Axe Body Spray in the stall he was in, and he started laughing because he thought, oh, you're just spraying me. Ha ha, really funny. What he didn't realize is it's heavier than air. And so as I was releasing those six, it was basically slowly filling up, almost like water would. It was filling the stall up.
Took away
up.
All the oxygen. He almost died.
Well, so it does. It displaces the oxygen. And then he's like, oh, very funny. And he's like, oh, God, that's gross. That's gross. And he starts coughing. And he's
then Bobby pulls out a lighter and smiles.
And then basically at some point
we go together.
At some point he realizes he can't breathe. The door comes open, and
I'm surprised he didn't find a big wooden plank holding him in.
I wasn't going to kill him that day. But he comes coughing out of the bath, out of the stall, pants around his ankles, just dick in the wind, just out with all the girls watching him. And they thought that was really funny. And
oh, God.
I think I got him back a few other times, too. But I had a very...
That clearly wasn't enough.
No, I had a first strike, you'll die policy. I had a few of them. So one of them was I filled his room... While he was gone, I filled his room with, like, every piece of furniture in our house.
I was really hoping you were seeing vipers, poisonous vipers.
But I don't mean, like, hey, you put a couple of tables in my room. I was able to Tetris, like, basically an entire large house.
You bricked him out of his room, essentially.
Worth of furniture into his room from ceiling to floor. It was completely a solid mass of objects. And he just opened his door one day, and there was nothing he could do.
Then he moved.
Yeah.
Okay, so I was on the receiving end of this. I made a huge mistake. So every summer I'd go back to the East
King
Coast. I understand that, Bobby. Thank you. I'd go back to my entire childhood. I'd go back to the East Coast for 3 months. I'd spend 2 months in Philly, one in Jersey with my family. My aunt had six kids. Some of them had their own kids. It was, and from going from an only child in California to being in a house full of fucking mutants for 3 months, it was big culture
shock.
That's a treat. So I shared a room with my cousin Chris, and one night I decided to prank him because he had discovered drinking. He'd stay out late. I hadn't started drinking yet.
How old?
Let's see. I was probably about 15. Yeah. He was about like 20, oh, okay. 21. So anyways, he would go out in Atlantic City, drink until all hours, and come home, and he'd always face plant into his bed, okay? We slept in the same room in twin beds, and I would see him every night go, and just like a fucking tree falling down the forest. Yeah. So, just to be funny.
Knife sticking up.
Broken glass under the sheet.
I slid a baking sheet into his pillowcase. And it was a white pillowcase, so I also put a thin layer of a flour over the top. So when he came in that night and went, he heard ping, and then a big cloud of white smoke come up.
That was good.
And so he turns the light on, and I'm just kind of like nodding like, that's pretty good. Right? I didn't even see that on TV or anything. That was my own design. And like his face is completely white. And he's drunk.
By the way, really hard to take someone seriously at that point.
Yeah. He looks like Marcel Marceau, yeah, the famous right. mime.
You'll never get to me through that box.
Yeah, so he just kind of nods like, pretty good. Pretty good. You realize it's on. I'm like, well, yeah, it's on. Yeah, prank war. He's like, I have rules. Number one, no bodily fluids. Because then it just becomes a bodily fluids war. Nothing's safe.
That's true.
Rule number two, we go until one of us dies.
He said, next thing, no fucking with things you ingest. And that includes toothbrushes. I'm like, all right, fair enough. So anyway,
he's got a lot of rules.
That's just two. And I was like, oh, come on. He goes, oh, you want to get rid of the second one? I'm like, yeah. I'm like, come on, just no bodily fluids. He's like, all right then. And then he just went to sleep with the shit still all over his face.
Of course.
Like an insane person.
Yeah. Yep.
Here's what I forgot. I grew up an only child. Yep. He grew up on the East Coast with six fucking siblings. Wow. He's way more adept at pranks than I am.
Oh, yeah. Well, and not taking that. That's like when a baseball player doesn't brush the dirt off. It's like, fuck you.
This guy was a pro. Yeah. He was seasoned. Yeah. He was 7 years older than me or something. So, anyways, first thing he did was poison me. Because I had gotten rid of the no ingestibles rule. I fucking drank some tea. All you drink in the East Coast is what's called tea cooler, which is basically big jugs of Arnold Palmer. They call it tea cooler. You buy it by the jug. You go to Wawa and buy 1,000 of them. And that's all that was in the fridge because we lived in this little in-law flat in the basement. Like they turned into a little granny apartment, you know? And so that's all our thing was. He filled those with laxatives, with fucking milk of magnesia. And I fucking drank it, and I fucking shit myself for like 2 days. And so then I opened up a cupboard to where I was told the shit to stop the diarrhea is. I forget what you call it. He had propped the shelved on a 45-degree downward angle, put a piece of cardboard in, filled that with eggs, closed the door, slid the cardboard out. So right when I opened it to get the shit to stop my shit, I was pelted with maybe 48 eggs.
Oh, that's fantastic.
At which point, I went to go turn on the sink to clean myself up, and he had put electrical tape around the little hose function.
Yeah, the handle.
And now that was just spraying me in the face. I'm like, okay, truce. He's like, nope. So the shower then, there was an outside shower down there like that you'd go into from like when you got home to the beach. It was enclosed under like a porch, you know?
Yeah.
Once I was in there to try and get the eggs and shit and all the other things off me, he had filled many buckets with muddy water, and so, like I said, it was underneath a porch. He poured that down the cracks of the goddamn roof of the shower. Now I'm covered in eggs, muddy water, my own fucking shit, and he's like, nah, we're not done yet.
So Brian's like, yeah, that baking sheet was pretty good, though, huh?
It was pretty good. Feel free to use that, listeners.
Best one I ever
pulled. Not on someone dangerous like my cousin or Bobby.
Yeah, best one I ever pulled, and I think I told you guys about this one. I used to be the king of chiefing somebody, which is...
Are you just the king of all things?
Is, well, that is pranks. Chiefing is pranks. But
Just say that.
Yeah. What the fuck is chiefing?
Fag it up, man. Yeah.
Chiefing is what happens to you, and Dave, we had to explain this to you recently, if you fall asleep with your shoes on. So if you're in a public place and you fall asleep with your shoes on, you get chiefed, and that means you get your face drawn on with magic marker. Anything can happen to you. You've done something bad, you know. So one of my things that we used to do all the time is we would wait for somebody to pass out on a couch like that, prop up the couch, put it rested on bricks like it was a car you just took the rims off of, and then we would take the industrial sheets of Saran wrap, the industrial rolls of Saran wrap we had, and encase them by passing it over their body and underneath the couch in Saran wrap. So they woke up in a prison, basically. And it'll take you, believe it or not, 30 minutes to get out of that.
Oh, I believe it.
Yeah. And so that was one of my good ones. But my best one was when somebody who had was in a sort of prankish thing with me fell asleep with their shoes on, and I was like, oh, fucking game on. And I buttered up a bicycle U-lock, slid it around their neck while they were sleeping, and locked it, and then left town. But before I did, I left them a scavenger hunt series of clues.
So you're fucking Jigsaw?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. I was just going to say,
I want to play a game.
Yeah, I was like that guy who blew up the pizza man, but with slightly less violence. Yeah, so I slid this around, locked it. They were still passed out. And then I set up a huge scavenger hunt all around campus. And they woke up to one clue that was taped to their forehead. And when they woke up and pulled it off, it said, congratulations, welcome to the only scavenger hunt you absolutely have to go on. And it led them all around campus, around the town, around everywhere, looking for clue after clue after clue, until it eventually led them to the key to that U-lock, which was actually duct taped to the bottom of the couch that they had originally passed out on.
Oh, it's too bad you didn't find himself at Home Depot and just cut the fucker off.
That's what I was just thinking. You can't. I've U-locked places before. Hacksaws won't go through it. The only way to get them off is a plasma torch, which is why the fire department has to come if you have to get them cut off.
Well,
I would have done that and then have the bill sent to Bobby.
Yeah.
Hey, you know who did this?
You can't plasma torch it if it's on your neck. That's the whole point. Like he. It was
what about
only,
a locksmith? You didn't find a locksmith?
It's a barrel lock. So the entire thing is, it's the only scavenger hunt you have to go on.
Nah.
I'll just live my life this way now.
You would have come home from that trip and I would have been sitting there with that U-lock on my head with my arms folded. Like,
yeah, totally.
Eating Pringles. Just
in,
like,
that case, in that case,
no.
I would have just given him the key out of respect at that point.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I have mental toughness.
Yes, absolutely.
I'm not going on your gay little fucking treasure map thing.
I feel like Bobby's idea of a prank is getting the Hellraiser box, setting it in the lament configuration, and leaving it on your lap, and then leaving. This is going to be funny. Watch.
Watch. Set up my to tear your skin up.
Speaking of the season right now, have you guys been out to the East County recently in San Diego?
I've been avoiding that shit because of the stupid fucking flowers.
It's gorgeous, first of all. It's unbelievable.
Right, but the people, not the flowers, the people.
It's beautiful. It's bright green. Normally, San Diego's this kind of golden or brown or something, you know, but everything is rolling green hills, beautiful with these just brilliant splashes of color.
My allergies are on fire!
Yeah. The California poppies are out. There's blue, there's yellow, there's purple.
It sounds
it's
like a
gorgeous
soccer team or something.
Yeah, it does. That girl soccer team. Yeah. Oh, I guess you said soccer. But it's gorgeous out there. And so one of the problems is it's getting crazy. Like, they've had to shut down roads because people don't know how to deal with this, where, like, people from San Diego don't know how to do it. So they're just driving. They just stop their car in the middle of the road. Let's go take a picture with the flowers.
Last week, a friend of mine was like, hey, let's go check out the flowers. And I was like, I don't want to. That sounds stupid. And then, like, literally an hour later, I saw a story that they shut the roads down. I'm like, I didn't want to get stuck in that.
For flowers. For flowers.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong. It's gorgeous. If you get a chance, go out and look. Just do it reasonably.
Nope.
So this happened to me last Tuesday.
No,
I work, I think I said before, I work on a reservation. And
did they ever mention that, Ryan?
When?
And I was traipsing through, and I'm in the back country.
Hang on. I'm picturing you traipsing. Give me a second.
Okay. So imagine a lot of bushes. I'm pushing my way.
I'm imagining a basket. I don't know if it's full of a picnic or maybe just some picked flowers.
Yeah, that's traipsing. Yeah.
No. That's gallivanting.
No.
But regardless, I'm pushing through the brush, and I am near the freeway, but other than the freeway, it's the middle of fucking nowhere. There's no roads, like individual little roads that go to this place. There's no paths.
Well, we're gallivanting. We don't need roads.
I'm pushing through bushes to get to where I'm going, and I stumble across these three 20-something-year-old dudes who are sitting there, like, taking selfie pictures and stuff in this patch of flowers in the middle of the reservation. I stumble across, and I'm like, "What? Hey? Hello?" And they're like, "Oh, hey, what's up, bud? These flowers, right? This is amazing." And I was like, "Well, first of all, how'd you get here?" I just hiked, like, 2 miles in. They're like, "Oh, we just parked right up there on the freeway and came in." And I was like, "You're..."
So many things wrong with that right now.
I was like, wait a second. I know where we are. You had to go through like three chain link fences and like a barbed wire fence to get here. And they're like, yeah, man, flowers. Look at these flowers. And I was like, bro, you understand you can be shot at
times
any time.
Times have changed since I was a young man.
Yeah, I almost respect how stoked they are on the flowers.
Yeah.
Like
I was like, dude, this isn't fuck around time. Like, this isn't like you wandered around and you're like in a county park after dark or something. Like, you're in a sovereign nation right now.
Yeah.
Like, what are you fucking doing? And they're like, yeah, well, you know, it happens once every few years. You got to come out. And I was like, no, you don't. No.
No.
And there's plenty of we're right near the Cleveland National Forest. Go hang out there.
Just 3 minutes ago, you said you do have to go out and check out the flowers.
Yeah, you do. Go to public lands. Don't come on like an Indian reservation. I'm like, I'm the only white dude who's allowed to walk around here and not get shot. And even that's questionable. Like, there are times when, like, there's a 50-50 chance I might get shot at.
Oh, yeah.
You guys are really taking a lot into your own hands. I went through the rounds with him, like, a couple of times. I went to the, hey, how'd you guys get here? You know you're not supposed to be here. This is a really dangerous place. And then finally, I was just like, how do I communicate this to him in an easy way? And so I was just standing there, and they're, like, still taking pictures. They're like, hey, Bill, no, take one of me. Hey, hold on, I'm going to be smelling the flowers, right? Like, stop and smell the flowers. Take a picture of me smelling the flowers. And I was just like, I just looked at him, I went, leave. Leave right now. You need to leave. And they, like, looked so indignant. Like,
oh, yeah. Who the fuck are you?
What are you doing? And I was like, I'm trying to save your life right now. Like, best case scenario, you get caught here, you're absolutely going to jail. But worst case, like I said, there is definitely a shoot first, ask questions later mentality on the res. And everybody's strapped. Everybody. Like 8-year-olds who go out hiking through the woods, they're strapped, right? So, okay. Like, this is not a safe place for you. And I shoo them away, eventually get them to get up and go up to their car. And
with
leave.
A spray bottle.
Yeah. Very bad. Axe body spray. Very, very reluctantly. And then my favorite part is I traipse my way back down to where I was going, and I get down.
King of traipsing.
I had to get down to where my my side-by-side was, my little off-road vehicle. And I get down there, and one of the natives is waiting for me down there because he saw my side-by-side and he wanted to stop and say hi. And then he goes...
And you're like, hey, what's up? Stands by side-by-side.
Yeah. He's like, what was up with that? Were those guys your friends? And I was like, no, not at all. I just ran into... Again, we're all white people, know each other, right? And I was like, no, I just ran into him up there. I told him to leave.
He reaches for his gun.
No. He's like, oh, shit, really? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, oh, fuck, I would have known that. I was going to shoot at him, but I thought, you know, I saw him talking to you. I thought they knew you. So my whole, like, get
you
out of here.
You cost me a perfectly good homicide.
No, he wasn't going to shoot them. He was going to shoot at them, which happens all the time. People get, if you come on a res, expect to be shot at if you're not supposed to be there. Like, that is the warning signal. If you're getting shot at, that's the courtesy.
Last time we let white people on our land, we didn't get to keep it.
But my
favorite. All we have left. Bang, bang, bang.
I wanted to record him saying that and then, like, run. Like, hold on, guys. Hold on. I got to show. I wasn't fucking with you. Somebody was literally thinking about shooting you as
no,
we were
no,
talking.
No. Fuck all that.
Just shoot at them.
You should have learned your lesson. Give them the warning, then they're on their own.
Yeah, that's true.
Give them the warning, they ignore it. Then you just yell into the ether, like, all right, these are not with me. These guys are not with me.
Right when that guy said that, you'd be like, yeah, fuck it, give him a little chin music.
Yeah.
They were already gone by that point. But especially if you are familiar with a certain area, like, have you ever done that where you're at a bar where you know it's kind of a seedy bar and you see that dude who's not supposed to be there? And that dude is mouthing off to a dude he's not supposed to be mouthing off to.
Yeah.
And you're like, I'm going to do you a favor and tap you on the shoulder and get out of here. And when you look at me indignantly like I'm the asshole, I just want you to know I've done you a favor.
Yeah? I'm often the guy that has to say that to that guy. I'm like, yay, white people aren't allowed in here. They're like, you're here. I'm like, yeah, I'm better than you.
Yeah.
I can't explain why.
Yeah.
All right, let's get out of here. Before we go, if you want to see me, Arizona, I'm coming to Apache Junction to the Greyhound Park Casino on April 19th.
Stay away from those reservations. They're even worse out there.
Oh, boy, I didn't think of that, dude.
Yeah, that's Kauai Cocoa Paw territory. You don't want to fuck around out there.
I am cuckoo for Kauai Cocoa Paw. So
I didn't get shot just for saying that.
Oh, boy, they got to catch me if they want me to hang. All right, April 19th. We'll see you next week, Cruising with the Twos. I'll take anything!
Ooh, 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 yeah, time passing by. Oh, ooh, 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 yeah, time passing by. Oh, ooh, 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 motherfucking time is passing by.